Good morning. Are you guys happy to be here today? My name is Barry Hammonds. I'm not the regular pastor. Austin, who came down, he's the pastor here at the church. But today I've been blessed to have an opportunity to share with you about God's love. For me, this is a very, very exciting tool or opportunity that's been given to me. I'm going to tell you just a few things about me, but first I want you to look around you. Look at the people. Stand up for a moment if you can. If you can't, that's okay. And look at the people around you. Do you know who these people are? Children of Christ. And for us, everyone you see, you can set, is someone who is part of your family in Christ. We are a family. And family is not something that's always functionally healthy, is it? But that doesn't mean it's still not a family. We are, all of us, people who have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are individuals who, outside of the grace and mercy of God, probably would never be together in this environment. One thing I've been learning a lot from Brother Austin is about gates. That's why I understand more now than ever why it's about the gates, what the gate church is about. I can't go somewhere now. I was the other day at a flea market, and all of a sudden I realized, right here's a gate. Do I have any sci-fi fans? A few. Well, I like sci-fi sometimes. I'm more of a Star Trek fan than I am a Star Wars fan. But I enjoy those kind of shows a lot of times. The one thing that I liked was they had these portals that can take you from one place to another. You know what I'm talking about? Well, when I'm at these places and I start thinking about the gates, I think of it as a portal. And everywhere I go, everyone I see, I realize that there's a portal right there. There's a gate right there that I can help lead someone into and through so that they can come and stand and meet the Lord God Almighty. Does that make sense? I'm from Kentucky, so if you hear an accent come out, that's what it is, okay? When I was 2 years old, I was asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And at two, although I didn't understand everything about it, I used to say, I want to be a missionary. You know, it was something that has been, I believe, put in my heart, even as a young child. My dad didn't go to church. He wasn't a Christian. Not at that time. And my mom, she made sure, thankfully, that we did go to church. And I was also, one of the things that I was so thankful for is I was taught to read the Bible on my own, even as a little child. And that to me is such an important gift, to be taught the importance of reading the Word. And not just reading the Word, but asking God to help me understand the Word. And so I remember one of my favorite verses as a child was in Daniel. And he said, I heard, but I understood not. Sounds like a weird scripture to be one of your favorite scriptures, doesn't it? But the thing is that as I read that, I said, Lord, I don't always understand what it is. But I've been taught that you love me and that you'll give me understanding. If you're something that you're pursuing and seeking God and you have a hard time figuring it out or understanding, then that's when, Lord, open my heart, open my mind, open my spirit that I might know you, that I might know your word. I give thanks to God for that. As I grew up, I always wanted to either be the missionary, but then I started also wanting to be an actor and a singer. I used to sing my first at church all the time. I've sung at Carnegie Hall in New York. I've done concerts in different parts of Europe and Central America. I also used music and used theater, as they say where I'm from, theater. But used the arts in missions. I worked with an organization called Youth with a Mission, YWAM, who I thank the Lord for the solid foundation they helped me with and the opportunities it gave me. I was co-pastor of a church in Geneva, Switzerland. I worked throughout Europe, Eastern and Western Europe. When I was there in the 80s, Europe was still had the wall. And I know some younger people might not even understand what I'm talking about, but, you know, it wasn't all just one Europe like it is today. You know, after the war, you had East Europe and West Europe. East Europe was under communist reign, and West Europe was considered free Europe. And when I was there, we went behind into Eastern Europe, which was pretty risky sometimes. And I had to go through East Berlin into West Berlin once, and had to go through they call it Charlie. Sort of like a gate, I guess, but the name of it was Charlie. And just a few weeks before we were there, a couple of people had been shot and killed. You know, so the tension sometimes was pretty tense. Central America, we traveled around the country and set up emergency medical clinics. We saw, it was during the midst of their civil war in Guatemala. And when we were there, at night, we would hear bombs falling all around us. Every time, most of our team traveled by van. There were some times when we had to have a couple of us go by bus. Whenever we went by bus, those of us who took the bus, it was always me and two nurses that were on our team. And they had told us that if you're there, one of the things that can happen is that military or terrorists, you never knew which one it was going to be, if they stopped the bus, they've been reporting that they were taking all the men off the bus and shooting them. And then the women they were having their way with and so. It was a spooky sort of situation to be in, if you catch my drift. And I remember being on that bus with Marnie and Sammy Joe and getting stopped. And they had all the men come out, and we had to put our hands up on the bus. Now, when I lived in Guatemala, I was a giant. Most of the Guatemalans, who are beautiful people, but they weren't as tall in general. Also, I'm what you call the gringo. And therefore, being that, you know, I stood out. And we went into some areas of Guatemala, they had never seen a gringo before, unless they'd seen it maybe on TV or something. But there hadn't been. We were in some very remote areas at times. I didn't know what was going to happen. But by the grace of God, I'm still here, aren't I? You know, it was faith being there. About 6 years ago, I had two strokes. Had to relearn to walk. My cognitive skills were affected. I tell people I might be a little crazy, but at least I'm a sane crazy. You know, I understand how precious the gift of life is. How important, not just my life, but every single one of you, how important your lives are. If you're a Christian, if you've given your heart to Christ, then what that means is that the Lord has, He's dwelling within you, and He has given you, you're the temple. Your body is a temple. And how we take care of that temple is so important. What you do with your life, with your body. You know the old saying, you are what you eat? Anyone know that saying? It's true. But eating's not just talking about food, even though that is important. It's what we see. It's what we put in our bodies visually. You know, it's what we hear, what we listen to. Do you understand what I'm saying? All these things are part of taking care of the temple. I worked in supporting myself a lot in mission work because we didn't get paid a salary. And what I did was I would work as a counselor. My master's is theology. I got it from Regent University. And working in theology with counseling. And working in that field, one of the things that I used to talk to the people about is, if you're having a hard time sleeping, what are you watching right before you go to bed? If you're watching the news, do you know that might be why you're having a hard time sleeping? I'm not saying it is, but it could be. Because what's on the news? Mostly violence, I think, isn't it? It's not as much of that good news, but negative. And if that's what I'm putting into me, that affects me. Also, they found that plants, I think most of us have probably heard this, are affected by music. And they found that depending on the type of music affects how healthy the plants are. You know, we're the same way. If I put into myself watching all this violence and all these video games that are so violent, it affects who I am. It affects the temple. Now, I shared the positive stuff about that I've done, that I give glory to God for. But I want you to know also, I have fallen down so many times. God has used me for His glory. And at the same time, I've been worse than Peter. I thank God that in the Scriptures it talks about Peter. Because in the Scriptures it shares how Jesus at one point says, Peter, Simon Peter, you're the rock I will build my church upon. And then later, when Christ has been taken and arrested and they were going to crucify Him, He started swearing and saying, I don't know Him. He denied Him 3 times. And He didn't just deny Him, He was cussing. Do you hear what I'm saying? That gives someone like me hope. Because I tell you, I have fallen down. And I have, as someone who has known and seen God's glory, also seen and rumbled in the mud. I don't boast on any of it. It's just saying, we are all here in the same boat. Brings me to the question, why are we here? Do you ever wonder what you're here for? Why you're here? Why you're here right now? I will say this to every single one of you. No one is here by coincidence. Every one of you are here today because God has somehow intervened in your life and directed you into this place. Austin talks a lot about borders and about building community. And that really is the heart of the ministry here, I think. But it is so important that the community that we build is built on a solid foundation. It has to be built on Christ Jesus. If not, we will not survive. If a storm comes, we will crumble. And folks, beloveds, I hate to say this, but storms are going to come. And that's why, because I know how much God loves me, I know how much He loves you. And God wants us to stand firm when those storms come. And the one thing that is so important is that we have, all of us, such a grounded foundation, a solid foundation. In Jeremiah 9:23-26, it says, thus saith thee the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows God, me. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through who? Through Him, through Christ. You know, we live in a world that wants to take and say that, well, they're a good person. They'll be in heaven. You know, I read an article online recently where someone, a little child, sadly, was saying, who had given his heart to Christ, but his father had died and wasn't a Christian. And the response to this, the child asked this person, would my dad be in heaven? That's a heavy question, isn't it? Would you like to be asked that by a little child who's just lost their father? That's hardcore, in my opinion. But what was sad to me is the way the man responded. Because he said, well, the fact that your dad sent you to church means that he had to believe something about God, that God was there and real. And yes, I think he will be in heaven. But I couldn't say that because I don't know that. You know, I'm not saying he's not, because I don't know his heart. I don't know what took place in that man's father's life before he died. I hope and pray that he gave his heart to Christ. But if not, I'm sorry, folks. The world does not like this, but there is no other way to know God but through Jesus. Now, some people can say, but wait a second, that's not true. Then if we think that, are we calling Christ a liar? Because that's what he says. There's no other way to God but through the Father. Jesus says that he is the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That's John 15:1. And in John 15:5, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Think about that. Here's Christ. He represents the vine. We are the branches. Think about what that means. When you go home tonight, ask God more. Show you, help me understand, Lord, more and more about what that means. I'll tell you a secret. The Lord wants you to know him more than you want him. Or, you know what I'm trying to say there? I went blank for a second. The Lord wants you to know him even more than we want to. Therefore, if we, with truly open hearts, ask him, seek him, he will reveal to you his truths. Now, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Pretty intense little scripture there if you really think about it. Again, if we are in Christ and abiding in Christ, if we are the branch connected to the vine, then there's going to be fruit. If there's not fruit, it says the vine's going to, that branch will be cut off. But if there is fruit, even then, there's a pruning that takes place in our lives. That pruning is the Lord's, sometimes put there is pressure that gets put on us in life. There's those storms that we go through. And they're not something to be looked at as something to be afraid of, but it's to realize that every storm you're in, the Lord is able to use that for His glory, for His good, to help you become stronger in your faith. You know, talking to some people recently, if I have everything I pray for, do I need faith? Do you know what I'm trying to say there? Faith is based on what I don't see. Well, if I see everything, if I know everything, if I have everything, I don't even need the faith. Believe me, I need the faith. Have I lost anyone yet? Okay. Now, when Jesus was preaching, He said to His disciples to come to Him. And His disciples said, but your mother and your brother, they're coming and they can't get through the crowd. And Jesus said, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. How many here would, in your heart, you don't have to raise your hand, would say you are a born-again Christian? If you are, the scripture says those who hear the word and obey it. We live in a society that stresses attitude. Isn't that right? I mean, I saw someone walking the other day and they were doing this hip swaying stuff. I mean, it was attitude big time. There was a show, I don't know if you guys remember, Living Color, I think it was called. And there was one part of that show that I really did, I didn't always like, but the one part I thought was hilarious. And it was when the two, is it Winning Brothers? When they were doing the movie reviews, and they would go, that snapping attitude, I used to always laugh at those two. But that's not the attitude as a believer we need to have. The Lord says, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And with humility, then God will rise us up. And if I lift up the Lord, He'll draw men to Him. See, it is not about me. It is about Christ. It is about the living Savior. Jesus says, do you want to follow me? Then take up your cross and follow me. What does that mean? The heart of my prayer for myself and for each one of us is that we will die. I want to die. I want you to die. When I say to die, I'm not talking about physical death. That's going to happen no matter what we do or say eventually. I want us to die to self. I want you to see less and less of Barry Hammonds and more of Jesus Christ. I pray that we, each one of us, would be able to get a sense of what price has been paid for your salvation. It is not just a free gift. There was a cost involved for each one of us to know freedom. You know, that's the old covenant, it was totally based on law. The new covenant, it is based on relationship. That main relationship is with our Lord and Savior Jesus. Please, the most important thing you can do, if you don't know God, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, is say, Father God, I'm not for sure if you're there. I'm not for sure if you're real. Some of us here, we're intellectuals. We use our minds, we think a lot. But maybe we're not as emotional. Some of us, including, are the emotional type. We feel things. I see someone grinning right back there. But the reality is we need to be both. I need that emotional contact. If I don't have that with the Lord, then I really believe something's wrong. But I also need to make sure I have the mental knowledge of Christ. And it is that combination that gives me strength to stand, that helps me to understand. You know, where I'm living right now, I have three young men, two that are here right now, I believe. And one of the challenges when you are preaching, they see me. They know me. They know how I live. They know if I fall or if I get up or what I do. Is the way that I live or present my life to you right now, is that the message I'm presenting when I'm not here? Do you know what I'm saying? Taking up the cross means to let go of my own desires. It means letting go of what I think I want, but actually those wants oftentimes are what's kept me chained down. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. If I seek first the kingdom of God, those things that I want will change. I don't care about fancy clothes. I don't care about fancy food. I don't care about I'm a tech freak. I love technology. But you know what? All that technology is not going to make me happy. It just gives me a headache sometimes. The only thing that's going to set us free from ourselves and from all the bondage that this world puts on us is Christ Jesus. Because He loves you. When Christ died on that cross, if you were the only person, He would have died on that cross for you. Our Lord doesn't see black, white, Hispanic, Asian. Our Lord sees people who were created in His image. I don't care who you are. I don't care if I've ever met you before. You're my family. Even if you haven't come to Christ yet, I look at you and I see someone who the Lord died for. Someone who God wants to be brought into his church. I pray that we be a body that seeks God, and that our foundation that is solid on Christ will branch out in the way we live our lives. And that not just me, but for each one here, it doesn't matter again age, it doesn't matter sex, race, nothing, none of these things that our world gets, our society gets hooked up on, you know, all messed up about. It's about all of us letting Christ reign through our lives. Whatever I do, folks, I am telling the world who God is by my actions. If I am finding myself doing things that I know I shouldn't do, or even if I go, well, I don't know, maybe it's okay. If there's doubt, if it's not done in faith, don't do it. The scripture says it. Please, ask yourselves, am I taking up the cross? It's not easy. But you know what? It's where freedom is. When I went to Central America and when I started doing mission work, I didn't know. One of the things that I felt God asked me is, was I willing to not come back to this country ever again? And am I willing never to see my family again? Well, I'm from Kentucky, and we're family-oriented there, as some people might know. But I said, Lord, you know I will. I do pray, Father, that if I go and I don't come back, can you give me an assurance somehow that my family would know Christ, and that if I don't see them here in this time, I will see them when the Lord calls us all home. And within days after that prayer, I found out my brother gave his heart to Christ and was baptized. I can't tell you the assurance. Whoa, Lord, you're real. You know what? In faith, I know he's real. But it's when God so moves and responds that sometimes it overwhelms me. It is not easy to follow Christ. But when I follow Christ, I might think, man, you're giving up this, and you're giving up that, you're giving up this. What will people think of you? You're giving up your own identity. Now, you receive a greater identity. All the things that it looked like to the world I've given up, I haven't given up. I've been set free. I don't have chains holding me down anymore. Because Christ Jesus bore my sin on the cross of Calvary. And on that cross, he bore each one of our sins. That's out of love, folks. I'm telling you, we have to let go of who we see ourselves as and start seeing ourselves as children of God, created in His image. Sorry if I just... I know I need to bring this to a close. One thing, too, that I want to encourage you, if we say we're believers, are we spending time in His Word every day? I encourage you. How can I? The Bible tells me who God is. The Bible tells me how to live my life. How can I say I'm following Christ if I'm not even trying to get to know who God is? If I'm not seeking His will? It's more than just saying a prayer. Even though that's very important. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Read the Bible. Also, memorize Scripture. It is so important. Put the Word in your heart. Make it part of who you are. I encourage you, memorize one Scripture or two every week. You'll be, it's sort of like saving pennies, sort of like, you know, wow, all of a sudden you've got a lot. I cannot, for me, it is hard to put my life into God's hands if my image of God is one where He does not love me. As I understand how much God loves me, I understand. And it makes it that much easier for me to surrender my life to God, to Christ. And in so doing, comes that freedom. And I believe every single person in here, every one of you, deep in your hearts and your souls, desires to be free. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that You will pour out Your Spirit on us now. God, help us. Help us to be that which You have called us to be. Help us, Lord Jesus, to have our eyes and our hearts, our spirits opened up. I pray, Lord, that no one will leave this place today, from the children to everyone in here. No one would leave this place as they were when they came in. But that, God, You would put in our hearts and spirits a desire to know You, to love You, and to walk with You. I don't care if people think I'm crazy if I'm walking down the street and I'm talking love talk to my God. Lord, whatever it is that we hold on to, help us to let go. We thank You, Lord, for Your love. We thank You for what You've done for us. And we thank You, God, that there is no power on heaven or earth that can separate us from the love of God when we trust and have faith in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.